The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now on that same day, two of his disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes. "And beside all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Open the eyes of our faith, O Lord, that we may behold Jesus in all his redeeming work. Amen. Are you where God wants you to be? Now that sounds like a very silly question. It's Sunday morning, and you're sitting in church, or you're on your computer watching a virtual worship service. Of course this is where God wants you to be. As one of your priests and pastors, I commend you for being here on this warm, sunny day. But being present at this moment in church is not what I mean by that question. Are you where God wants you to be as you walk through life. If you look at the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they probably were not where God wanted them to be. Emotionally, they were destroyed. They thought Jesus was the Messiah, but he went and got himself killed. Obviously, they were wrong. They were still sad about this, even though some women had told them that the tomb was empty and they had seen some angels, but you know how hysterical women are. Don't beat me after this, please. Even after the men went and saw the tomb, as the women had said, these two guys still don't believe. If they had stayed behind in Jerusalem, they would have seen the risen Lord, and their spirits would have been renewed as if on eagle's wings. Instead, they just didn't believe what was said, and they went home sad. But you know, you can't turn your back on Jesus. He shows up on the road with them and explains the scriptures about the Son of Man needing to suffer and die. So maybe they were where they were supposed to be. They got to have a very personal talk with the Lord, even if they didn't recognize him. The word of God came to them from a stranger walking on the road. So yes, they were where they were supposed to be. You just never know where or from whom you will hear the word of God. Or more importantly, when you will be called to be the word of God to others. Now, some clergy believe, and we're taught in seminary, that you never tell a personal story during a sermon. As you know, I'm not from that school of thought. Because sometimes things happen that are really worth sharing. But what I'm about to tell you is one of them. A parishioner of a parish I served teaches at Green's Farms Academy, which is a private prep school in Westport, Connecticut. Now, the school was putting on a play called The Laramie Project, and they were having a panel discussion following the play where they asked me to actually take part. It was the Saturday after Easter. We had a friend from Long Island visiting, but I said yes immediately to the offer. Now, if you're a weeper like I am, get your tissues out now. You know me. Now, if you don't know about the Laramie Project, it's a play and it's also a movie. It's about the city of Laramie, Wyoming, and how the people of that city responded to the murder of a 21-year-old gay man named Matthew Shepard by two other young men. Matthew was about 5'2". About 100 pounds. Obviously not a very big guy. The two men drove him out to what is called in Wyoming the prairie. They beat him with their fists and a pistol. They then tied him to a fence and left him there. For some reason, they took his shoes and his credit card and they left them in their truck, which of course made life really easy for the police of Laramie. Now, 18 hours later, one of Matthew's friends went on a bike ride and got horribly lost on the trails. And it was only because he got lost that he found Matthew, who was still alive at the time, but was unconscious. That friend was where God wanted him to be. Now, 6 days after the incident, Matthew died. His funeral was held at the local Episcopal church, as Matthew and his parents were Episcopalians. As a matter of fact, there is an image of Matthew in the stained glass windows at our National Cathedral. Now, during the funeral, the hate group, Westboro Baptist, and I'm going to gag a little bit right now, church, showed up. Now, Westboro is the group that had picketed funerals of fallen soldiers, carrying disgusting signs of hatred about God hating gay people. At Matthew's funeral, they actually carried a sign that said, "Matthew was burning in hell." His parents had to see that. At the trials of the murderers, they came again. But this time, the young people of Laramie constructed 7-foot wings out of white material, and they stood side by side with their wings touching each other so that Mr. and Mrs. Shepherd didn't have to see Westboro. It was called an angel action. And many times when Westboro threatens to picket, people will make the wings and have an angel action. It happened in Brookfield, Connecticut, a town near where I was rector, at the Playhouse when they were performing the Laramie Project. And Westboro said they were coming. And that night it was pouring rain. I mean torrential. They never showed up. I guess God's wrath gets a little diminished in bad weather. I don't know. But you know what? The angels did. In the pouring rain, God blessed them all. They were where God wanted them to be. And rain wasn't going to stop them. Now, just to close on the play and the actual events, one murderer pled guilty to take the death sentence off the table. The judge gave him life in prison without parole. The other boy went through a trial, but he was found guilty, meaning he could have been executed. Matthew's father asked the court to do for that boy, here we go, what he did not do for his son. He asked the judge to show mercy. Again, life in prison without parole. Let's go back to Green's Farms Academy. During the panel discussion, I made the point that Westboro Baptist does not represent Christianity in the least. And I made sure I used former presiding bishop Michael Curry's tagline, "If it's not about love, it's not about God." After I talked with a few people at the bottom of the theater, and as I was walking up the steps, a young lady who was in the play stopped me. And she is, I found out later, a senior at the school. Now, she was no bigger than a minute, and she was cute as a button. I mean, she even had a pixie haircut. She said to me something like, "Thank you for what you said. It meant so much." I couldn't quite get the sentence because she started to cry. So I did exactly what they teach you not to do in Safe Church training. I took her in my arms and I held her. As she seemed to get some control over her emotions, I said to her, "Never forget, not for a second, that God loves you truly and deeply, just the way you are." At that, she actually started to sob on my shoulder. And I held her until she seemed in control again, and I could get finally one of the teachers to come over and relieve me. It was a Saturday after Easter. I was wiped out. We had someone visiting for the weekend, a big muscle guy, who got car sick both going and coming from the theater. At some point, I lost my brand new iPhone and didn't get it back until that Tuesday. But despite all of that, that was where God wanted me to be. That young lady needed to hear the words that God put into my mouth. Now, maybe she was the only one I was there for, or maybe God had an effect on 50 or 100 people. Who knows? But for that young woman, God's love was present through me. A lot of people say, "Where is God when we need God?" Today's gospel tells us that God is where you are. But we must listen and be aware. Your life should be a sermon on God's love. Whether it's on the street, or in the classroom, or at work, or the grocery store, or on the bus, you just never know when God is going to call on you to give a word of love to strangers walking along the road. And it doesn't have to be elegant prose or quotations from scripture. Sometimes it's just a smile of understanding, an offer to help, a polite gesture. It could be anything. The point is that as we walk through this world, we know that Jesus is walking with us the way he was with those two men on the road to Emmaus. And we can let others know that he is walking with them as well. Be aware that you are where God wants you to be. Open the eyes of our faith, O Lord, that we may behold Jesus in all his redeeming work.
Amen.
Amen.